Awesome. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, if you're joining with us on campus and you don't have a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to look underneath the seat that you're sitting in or underneath the seat in front of you. You should see a blue Bible there. I would encourage you to take that Bible, open up to page 1008. 1008, we'll specifically be looking at verses 42 through 47. Over the past several weeks, we've been walking through really the core values of our church. We started off with worship. Then we looked at the importance of growth, and last week we looked at service, and with that we had the privilege and honor to ordain two new deacons at our church. And this morning we're going to wrap up that series about our core values, and we're going to look at the importance of connecting together as a community of faith. And so the big question for this morning is, why is connecting in community with other believers so important? Why should that be a priority in our life? Why should it be a focus for us as the family of God to connect as often as we can, as best as we can? And I believe if we look at just really this past year with COVID specifically, and how that has not only had physical disruption in our life, but I think through that disconnect, it has brought on spiritual neglect in our life. And so I pray today's message would be an encouragement to you, but I pray that as the Lord convicts, we'll respond in faith to what He's teaching us. We must realize that specifically in the New Testament, this language of community, this language of family is all throughout. It's always referring to God's church. And one of the most beautiful places for us to see God's church is in Acts 2, when the church began. Really, we see the birth of the church. In Acts 1, Jesus ascends into heaven. There's 120 disciples there. And then in Acts 2, we find that 3,000 were added to that number through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God's spoken word. The Apostle Peter delivers a message straight from Scripture at Pentecost, and numbers were added to the church. We see that in verse 41 in Acts 2. So those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So think about the sequence. The Word of God was spoken. The Holy Spirit of God was there and working. And people received the Word, meaning they trusted the very Word of God. And their next step was a step of obedience, that of baptism. Baptism signifies two very important things. One, I identify with Christ, but also I identify with God's people. And so that's what we see here. The Bible is describing the importance of community, family, the fact that we are connected together, that we are to depend on one another. And the reality is that we are part of God's family because of God's doing. In John chapter 1, the scripture says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Praise God that all people have hope in the gospel. That God's word, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people during all times. And the only thing that separates you and I from receiving that is unbelief. That God has done everything necessary for salvation. Our role is to trust in Him. And so by His grace, we have the privilege and the honor to be a part of His family, the body of Christ, the church. We are adopted into His family, no longer orphans, not because of our devotion to Him, but because of His devotion to us. And so when we think about community, community isn't so much what we do. Community is who we are by God's design. But within that, the church does have a role. The church does have a responsibility to one another, and that's why I believe Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 is so important. The scripture says this, speaking of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had in need. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so they came to Christ and they began joining together. Out of the overflow of their relationship with the Lord, they began to live life together, connecting in community. And so again, why is connecting in community so important for us as followers of Christ? Well, in this passage, there are many things to say, but I want to focus on three areas on why it's important for you and I to commit to connecting in community. Not just big church, what we do on Sunday morning specifically, but in life groups, all throughout our community, that we gather together on a consistent basis. Why? Why is it important for us to do this? Well, three reasons. One, we need each other. We need other believers to grow in our relationship with God. Connecting in community is so vital for us to mature in our faith. The scripture says in verse 42, and they, speaking of followers of Christ, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The word devoted means to be focused on something, to be prioritizing something, to extend energy to something, to be eager to be a part of something. And the verb tense there in devoted is present tense, meaning it's an ongoing, continuous action. And what were they devoted to? Well, first and foremost, they were devoted to the Word of God. They were a people of God who couldn't wait to hear the very Word of God. Very much unlike many homes today, where the Bible at most sits on a table and collects dust. Or at most is pulled up on a smartphone just because they enter into the church building or the church facilities. The Word of God meant something to them. They devoted their lives to be under the Word of God. Now, why the Word of God? Well, the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 4 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God points us to our living Savior. And the very fact that the Word of God is active means that it has power. It has power to restore and has power to transform. And God's Word penetrates to the deepest parts of our soul. It's a little scary to know that God's Word discerns the motives of our heart. You see, nothing is more important to healthy spiritual growth than Christ-centered truth. They were also devoted to spending time together. The scripture talks about the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. When we think of fellowship in our day, a lot of times our mind goes to like a potluck meal, right? You got a bunch of people gathered, mysterious food. You're not going to eat it unless you know who made it or what store it came from, right? We've all been there, trust me. Unless you're a student, you'll eat anything, right? It doesn't really matter. But as you get older, you have a little bit different perspective. You know, the reality is you can gather with lots of people and have lots of food and still not have fellowship. Still not share life together. Fellowship involves prioritizing time together. It means that we share life together. Yes, it can and should involve food. But it's more than just gathering together. It's investing in one another's lives. And that's why life groups are so important at our church. Because it's hard to connect in an area this big. It's hard to connect if we're just online. We have to connect in life groups, both on campus, off campus, and we live in a day and age where online is going to be vitally important for many as we move forward together. Where small groups get together to invest in each other's lives, constant connection and community is very important in spiritual growth. When you get around other Christians, and as you share God's Word together, and as you share life together, you're going to see some things that you don't like about yourself, and you're going to see some things that you don't like about the person that you're with. But that's where God does an amazing work. It's in gospel community that we begin to grow more and more into who we are in Christ. The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some. So there is part of the church here that they were neglecting, they were choosing not to be together in community. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Consider the calling that we have in our life. The scripture says that we are called by God, right? We are made right because of the gospel. But we also have a call to one another, a commitment to one another. And I don't know about you, but there are times and days in my life, through work and through being a parent and a husband and just going through routine, that you feel like there's no purpose. Like you're just going through the motions. And then you get together with a portion of the body of Christ, and they begin to share what God is doing in their life and all that God is showing them, and through devotion and through prayer, and how God is restoring marriage and broken relationships, and how they're seeing things at their workplace and things that are happening in their school, and how God is creating opportunity for them to engage in God's mission. And you get into an environment like that, and you get some nourishment there. You realize that God is moving, that God is active. And so there's an encouragement that happens as we gather together as the body of Christ. And as the days continue to linger, as the days get closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the scripture makes it plainly clear that days are going to get harder. And that's why the body of Christ is so important. Listen, you're not going to find it in athletics. You're not going to find it in your school achievements. There aren't many places in this world where there is true gospel community outside of the very church of God. Now, you may have flashes of it at your workplace. You may have flashes of it at where you go to school. You may have flashes of it where you play sports and all those things. But there's nothing like the body of Christ. We need to stay connected together. In your life group, I pray that you're sharing how God is moving, that you're committed to His Word, but you're sharing life together. Not only were they sharing life together and committed to the Word, but the Scripture says that they were praying for one another. Prayer is a sign of dependency on God. Prayer is a sign that we are seeking His wisdom, not our own, His will, and not our own. And what happened when God's people were devoted to God's Word, sharing life together, and praying for one another? Well, the Scripture says in verse 43 that an awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Think about it like this. That when we gather together and we are focused on God's Word and God's people and dependency on Him, we see God moving in us and through us in powerful ways, and it leaves us in a place of awe. When's the last time in your life group specifically were you in awe of what God was doing? In fact, when was the last time when we gathered together connecting in community that we were in awe of what God was doing? I think the church in many ways has lost our awe-ness of who God is and what He has accomplished. And that's one of the beauties of connecting in community. So here's a question. How is your commitment to other believers helping them to mature in their faith? Do you understand that as a body of Christ, we have a role in one another's life? To encourage, to support, yes, to correct in a gracious and loving way, but a truthful way. We have a role together to help mature one another in the faith. You see, your life group is not just about your life group. Your gospel community is not just about the gospel community. It's about God's kingdom. God's kingdom and how we are multiplying disciples for generations to come. Amen. So why is connecting in community with other believers so important? Second thing, we need other believers to walk with us through all seasons of life. We need other believers to walk with us through all seasons of life. All of us walk through moments of life where there's celebration and joy, but the reality is we also walk through times of life where there is sorrow and grief. And God has united us together as a family so that we never walk alone. And yet, that's what happens, is we get disconnected from gospel community and we're carrying the burdens of life on our own. We're suffering in many ways in silence, if it be doubt or mental illness, addiction, all those different things. We're not immune to those things. And yet God has given us, by His grace, a community to walk through the seasons of life together. God has united us in such a way to be a faith community. In Acts 2:44, the Scripture says, "And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common." Now, this doesn't mean that they all agreed, right? Doesn't mean that they all liked the same kind of music. They all didn't agree on what service time was better for them. They didn't all agree on what ministries were important to them. They didn't agree all those things, but what they agreed on was what was supreme, what was most important. And when we are held together by what is most important in the life of the church, there is tremendous gospel unity. Unity within the body of Christ is extremely important. The Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Meaning that there is a gospel response to what God has done in us and through us. And what is that response? The Scripture is going to talk about unity. And how is unity expressed within the life of a believer? He goes on to say, "with all humility," meaning that my business is not to exalt myself. My business in the life of the church is to exalt Jesus Christ. And I'm to be a follower of Christ in all gentleness, meaning that I have strength under control. I'm not retaliating based on someone's gripe with me. Now, that's hard, because there's something bigger than me. It's about the advancement of God's kingdom. We are to be patient with one another through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to be long-suffering. The Scripture goes on to say that we are to bear with one another in love. In other words, love makes allowances for others' faults. It does. 3, verse 3 says, "eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." We have unity because of the Spirit of God. One baptism, one Spirit, one Lord, one Savior. It's not something that we create. It's something that God has given to us. We are one. Think about verses 4 through 6. Listen to how many times it says one. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bringing about unity within the body of Christ. In the midst of tremendous diversity, we have unity. And when there is unity within the body of Christ, when there is unity within your life group, you care for one another. Verse 45 in Acts 2, it says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had in need." It's in the context of connecting in faith community where we can both bless others but also receive the blessing from others. And I just want to encourage everybody here. Don't let pride get in the way of blessing people, and don't let pride get in the way of receiving blessing from the church. I think there's two ways to go about pride within the body of Christ. Either we want to hold on to everything to ourselves, or we don't want to receive anything. But in gospel community, we are to bless and we are to receive blessing. Being adopted into God's family means we have a responsibility to one another. The half-brother of Jesus in James chapter 2 says, "If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them," so we're talking about the church, "if they just say something, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that?" In other words, I'll be praying for you, which is great. But if God is pressing on you to meet that need, guess what? Meet the need. 1 John chapter 3, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him," and that's in reality what is happening. We're closing our heart to that individual. "How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or deed, but in deed and in truth." We have a responsibility to one another. And through faith and obedience to the Lord, we are committed to one another in the ups and downs. In the other church, when a need arose within the body, guess what? The church met that need. It's the idea of your need becomes my need and my need becomes your need. So ask this question: how is your commitment to other believers helping them endure during the trials of life? Are you walking with people in the ups and downs of life? It's the beauty of the church We care for one another. We protect one another. We provide for one another. We partner with one another to be a church where there is a long line of people waiting to meet a need. Because there is a long line of people needing a need. And so the church must work together, commit to one another, beyond our preferences. We need to be committed to what is most important, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is connecting in community with other believers so important? Third, we need other believers to accomplish God's mission. We need other believers to accomplish God's mission. What happens when we intentionally connect in community, where we centralize our life around God's word, sharing life together, praying for one another, walking through the ups and downs of life? Well, God begins to accomplish his mission in and through us. In Acts 2, verse 46, the scripture says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." So they're meeting in a big group, but they're also meeting in smaller environments. And they're praising God and having favor with all the people. So God's people are worshiping the Lord. They're filled with joy, joy that only God can give them. They're actually happy people, right? I've read multiple articles that say the meanest people in the world are professing Christians. I don't think that's true. I think those are people who profess something that they don't have. I think the most joyous people in the world are born-again believers. To be a people of God, not only meeting on campus and off campus, but meeting in schools and workplaces, restaurants, and to have a joy about ourselves, it doesn't go unnoticed. People will see what we are reflecting, if it be that of Christ or that of the flesh. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a group of people that represent Christ well. It's crazy what a gospel-centered community can do. The impact we see in this environment in the early church, it impacted the entire city. And what does God do through that? Verse 47, the second part, it says, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." This is God's work. When the scripture says, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved," it's in the passive voice, meaning that God was doing something. It was God who was doing a work in the local church, but it was also God who was doing the work in the community around them. God's people were just faithful to what God had called them to do. And the results were in his hands. People were being saved. Growing community has the mission of God in the forefront. How often do we have disagreements? How often do we build walls because of preference or because we have a need that we want met above all the needs around us? And each time we make a wall, we're hindering God's work in our community. You see, Jesus always connected the relationships within the family to his mission. Jesus himself would say in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And so how we relate to one another is a big deal. 54 times in the New Testament, we have this one another language. The scripture says that we are to pray for one another, that we are to bear with one another, that we are to confess our sins to one another. We are to forgive one another, be kind to one another, greet one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, love one another. All these things are not things that we naturally want to do. But it's what the Holy Spirit has called us and empowered us to do. You see, our love for one another isn't something that we are to manufacture. That is not what Jesus has said here. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I want you to go love each other better." No, he is presenting a new love to us, right? And it's out of that new love to us that we begin to receive the love of God and reflect the love of God. Remember that in John 13, these words were spoken on a Thursday night. Friday's coming, right? Friday is coming. Jesus is getting ready to lay his life down for all mankind. Connecting in community has gospel implications. The unity of the body of Christ. In fact, Jesus spends a lot of time in the high priestly prayer talking about this, praying to the Father in John 17. He says that they may be all that they may all be one, speaking of his disciples, his followers, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 23, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. And so, language of knowing and believing. And so when there is unity within the body of Christ, when there is a love for one another, when we are devoted to God's word and caring for one another and praying for one another and with each other in the ups and downs of life, and we're reflecting the love of Christ in our community, the scripture says that they may believe and know. The word know means to be able to see it. And through the seeing, they begin to believe that they would be saved. So the question for us this morning is, how is your commitment to other believers helping them to engage in God's mission? So when we are disconnected from gospel community, beyond just gathering for worship, if it be on campus or off campus, it is affecting how we engage in God's mission. When we think about all four gospels, and including the book of Acts, when the Great Commission is given, it is given to a group of people, not just to an individual. It's always given to a community of believers. The early church was connecting in community, and that connecting in community led them to sharing in God's mission. And what was the mission? Think about the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, talking about his followers, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we see in the Great Commission the beauty of relationships. First and foremost, our relationship with the Lord. Secondly, our relationship with one another. And it's through that relationship with one another where we're growing together, when we're there for one another, we are accomplishing God's mission by being sent out by God on mission for him. We're teaching people and we're showing them what obedience is all about, but we're not doing it in our strength. The scripture says, "Lo and behold, I will be with you wherever you go." So why is connecting in community with other believers so important? We need others to grow in Christ. We need others to walk with us through difficulties in life. And we need other believers to accomplish God's mission. And so as we go to our time of response, there is a massive need that we have in our church right now with life groups. We need life group leaders. We need people to reconnect in life group, if it be with on campus, off campus, online. That is a great need that we have in the life of the church. And that is one of our primary focuses this year as a church. With everything that has happened this past year, we have seen how the body of Christ has been disconnected. And so our heart for the body of Christ and for ourselves is to get reconnected and reestablished in life groups. And so I just want to encourage you to pray for that. And if you're already engaged in a life group, praise the Lord, but pray. Ask God to raise up new leaders. Ask the Lord to raise up new places that we can meet, if it be on campus or off campus. Pre-COVID, we didn't have enough room. We didn't have enough space on campus. And so we started going off campus, which is huge and it's important. We're going to keep doing that. Now we have space. We're ready to fill them. And so I would encourage you, if the Lord is leading you to lead, and you have a question about what that looks like, Pastor Jason would love to talk with you. Maybe you're here and you want to get involved in a life group, but you don't know what's available. We'd love to connect with you. Maybe you're online and you would love to connect online with a life group. That is a growing need, and we want to meet that need as best as we possibly can. And so we just want to go before the Lord. First and foremost, we want to have him impress on us the importance of gospel community. And through that gospel community, we will grow together. We will walk together. And we will be together as we partner with the Lord in accomplishing his mission in the world. And so as the Lord has spoken to you, the altar will be open for you to pray. Maybe for you, it's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the very first time. And through that, he begins to give you a new heart, new desires, and new loves. Maybe you've been a follower of Christ for quite some time, but you realize, you know what? Community, gospel community, is very important, and I need to make more priority in that. And so, Lord, I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I don't have a whole lot of margin in my life And so, Lord, I ask that you reprioritize my life for your glory and for the good of the church.